Now, boys and girls, last time you remember we were speaking about the man who was the third king of the children of Israel. His name was Solomon, of course, and he was the son of King David. Solomon was a good king, as we said, in many ways. He ruled the people very wisely. He built the great temple in which the people of Israel worshipped the Lord their God. And of course, also we said that during the reign of Solomon, there was peace in the land of Israel all those days. You remember how he got his wisdom? It was when he became king at first. And he was very conscious. He knew in his heart and his mind that he wasn't really fit to be king in his own strength or in his own wisdom. And so he went away to that place called Gibeon, and all day long he worshipped the Lord God, and he offered sacrifices to God as the people did in those Old Testament days. And then at the end of that day, when he lay down to sleep, he had that dream. And in that dream, God spoke to him. God asked him what it was that he wanted most of all. And Solomon made a very good choice, because Solomon told the Lord that the thing that he wanted and needed most of all was wisdom. It was good sense, so that he could worship God aright and so that he could rule the people of Israel, now that God had made him the king of that people. So as I say, and as we saw last time, he did rule the people very well, and he did rule the people very wisely. You remember those cases that were brought to him and how he would judge rightly between the one person and the other. And as all these things began to happen, then Solomon became more and more famous for his wisdom. And people in other countries, in fact, used to come all the way from their own country to the land of Israel in order to speak to King Solomon and to hear his wisdom. Now, one very famous visitor who came was a woman who was a queen. She was the queen of a land called Sheba. Sheba was very, very long distance away from the land of Israel. But the queen of Sheba made the great journey to Solomon to hear his wisdom. As she was shown round the city of Jerusalem, she saw the great temple that he had built to the Lord God of Israel. She saw the palaces and all the fine buildings. She saw how the king's servants were so well dressed as they went about in the palace, and she was very impressed. But most of all, she was impressed. She was really amazed when she heard Solomon's wisdom. She thought she was pretty smart herself. And she brought a lot of questions and put them to Solomon. But each and every question that the Queen of Sheba put to Solomon, Solomon was able to answer that question and to show his wisdom. So as she was going away then, as I say, being very impressed with everything that had taken place, then she began to speak some very great words about Solomon and concerning the wisdom that she had heard. Now listen to these words. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and your wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half has not been told. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are thy people, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delights in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore has he made you king to do judgment and justice." And those are great words, you see. She says, "I heard about your fame, I heard about your wisdom, and that's why I came this great distance. I could hardly believe what I heard in my own country. But now my own eyes have seen, my own ears have heard, and the half of it hasn't been told. You're twice as wise as what I heard." And then those great words when she says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delights in thee." And so you see, Solomon was a good king for many, many, many years. He ruled the people of Israel very well and very wisely. And he went in under the Lord his God to do everything that he ever did. Now then, sad to say, Solomon brings that same lesson before us, as we've seen in many other great people of the Word of God, even God's servants. You remember the lesson is this, that we are all sinners. That each and every one of us sins before the Lord our God. That there was ever only one who came into this world who was without sin, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son. And so no matter how great the servants of God, even the servants of God were in the Bible, as the Holy Spirit tells us in the Bible, we're also told about their sin. You remember Abraham sinned, David sinned, Moses sinned. And so the Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Well, Solomon sinned as well, and he sinned very badly, and he sinned very sadly as well. As Solomon got older, you would have thought he would have got wiser as he got older, but that's not always the case, boys and girls. And as Solomon got older, then he began to look to other kings and other peoples and other nations. And worst of all, he began to marry the daughters of these other kings. And the daughters of these other kings, of course, they didn't worship the Lord God of Israel. They worshipped idols. They worshipped their own gods. And Solomon allowed them to worship their own gods. And worst of all, Solomon allowed them to build shrines and temples to their own gods. And so God came, and God was very moved against Solomon. And he told Solomon that if he had not walked in all his ways, then he would certainly send his judgment upon them. And God came, and God spoke some very stern words to Solomon. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what actually happened at the end of Solomon's life, but in a sense, we can sort of see what happened. Solomon wrote three of the books of the Word of God under the Holy Spirit of God. He wrote the book that we call Proverbs, the book that is called the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, and he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes he would have written right at the end of his life. And maybe we see then something of how Solomon finished his life in that book of Ecclesiastes. Because when he comes to the end of that book, here's what he says. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, what does that mean? It means, well, there is nothing really in this world that is of any use if we don't have the Lord our God. And then when he comes right to the end of the book itself, he says, now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the whole conclusion? What's my last word, he's saying to you? And it's this, fear God and keep his commandments. And so at the end of his life, you see, he looks round, he realizes that he had left aside his wisdom, even the wisdom that God had given him, but he had acted unwisely. But now we trust that coming to the end of his life, he sees really what is the best thing and the only thing in life to have, and that is to have God. So he says, here is the conclusion of it all. Fear God, love God, obey God, do what God says, and keep his commandments. And boys and girls, you take that bit of advice from Solomon, a man who lived so long and knew so many things, and yet at the end of it all, he could only tell us to do what God tells us to do. And may we all do that and learn to do that. So the first king of Israel, you remember, Saul. Second king of Israel, the great king David. Third king of the land of Israel was that man Solomon, David's son, and a man who has to teach us so many lessons.